Our next guest, Dr. Aaron Yelowitz, is an associate professor in the Department of Economics at the University of Kentucky. He is also a joint faculty member in the Martin School of Public Policy and Administration at Kentucky and an adjunct scholar with the Cato Institute. Doctor, welcome back to the program.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
Glad to have you here. Listen, give me an idea here. All of these, we hear a lot of talk these days about diets and this and that. Of course, Michelle Obama and different things get said and should you eat fat or sugar. I mean, there's a lot of confusion because there are a lot of mixed messages or contradicting messages out there. Could you help us out a little bit, please?
In a way, I think the answer is I can't, and neither can these menu mandates. Basically, the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, wants to put in mandatory calorie disclosure on restaurant menus. And the logic behind it seems exceedingly simple and seems like it could be a quick fix for America's obesity problem. Basically, people might make smarter choices by choosing lower calorie options when they're at McDonald's or Subway or Wendy's. What my research shows is that that's not the case. A number of cities like New York and Seattle and a handful of other places implemented such mandates. And you know what happened to obesity? Nothing.
We're still way too big is what you're saying. Well, but in fairness, I will tell you this, and I don't know about yourself if you ever go into many fast food restaurants. I do on occasion when I travel, and I do look up at the menu, and I do review the number of calories, and I make a decision sometimes based solely on that. Well, that sounds good, but I'm going to go with this item over here because it's 200 calories less. I do that. I have to believe that other people, I can't be the only guy, can I?
You're not. In fact, you're speaking to one. I dropped probably 30 pounds by making substitutions like that. But the real question isn't whether, for example, you look up at the menu or you grab your smartphone and you use an app or you buy a book like Eat This, Not That, which not only talks about calories but also other things that would make you more satisfied when you eat the meal. The real question is, does the government have any business in telling a restaurant whether or not to do that? You do it, and I do it because we're motivated to do so. And that's why, for example, you might kind of stay at the weight that you are. If someone's not motivated to do it, all it's going to do is shame them into feeling bad about what they were already going to eat. And we don't need the government to be in the business of shaming people into eating a salad rather than a cheeseburger.
Well, and some would say, depending on how you eat that salad, it might not do you any good anyway, depending on what you put on top of the salad. So there is that. And I agree with you. It's not the government's place to tell me how to use my fork. I don't think any more than it's the government's place to tell me what I can wear, you know, as far as what's on my shirt and so forth. I don't think it's the government's place. On that, I will agree with you, Doctor. But is it the government's place to try to help people be healthier and live better lives? Is there any role for the government in this conversation?
That's an interesting question. The answer is perhaps if this kind of mandate actually did improve health, that would be a good conversation to have. What my research does is it looks at a well-known, long-standing health surveillance system. I look at 300,000 people. I look at a bunch of cities, some of which implemented these sorts of regulations, others of which did not, and I found absolutely no effect. So had I found that it did drop weight, that it did reduce obesity, then that would be a terrific question to ask, whether the government can improve health by mandatory disclosure. On the other hand, since it has no effect, then basically it seems like a waste.
Let me ask you this. Is there a place, you hear, again, it's ever-changing as to what the government tells you you should eat. Cholesterol is bad. Cholesterol doesn't matter. Salt's bad. Salt doesn't matter. Things change. Don't eat fat. Fat doesn't really hurt you. Don't eat sugar. Now, sugar could be something we could agree on in large quantities is not good. Creates internal fat, creates fat in your internal organs and so forth, and creates a surge in your serum cholesterol when you eat too much sugar. We liver puts that out. Is there a place in the government to say, listen, we should reduce the amount of, say, high fructose corn syrup in the foods that are being produced? Is there a role for government somewhere in that conversation?
The answer might be, in principle, it seems like it would improve health. What we always need to do is ask, at the end of the day, is health markedly different? Remember, Michelle Obama's crusade in public schools started 8 years ago now. Are kids really that much healthier in public schools than they used to be? My own kids basically want lunch from home rather than eating the school lunch because of those kinds of regulations. So the natural question is, the logic behind it is inassailable. We have some sense that certain things are worse than others. But whether people want to change their lifestyle because of the information or regulations is a separate question. If we make food taste bad, they'll just eat other food.
Well, there is that. And if you keep putting additives there. So it's kind of a tough struggle you put out here, Doctor. Dr. Aaron Jelowitz here from the University of Kentucky and also working with the Cato Institute. How do we get healthier then? We've got about a minute left here. If the government really doesn't help and it's not really necessarily their role, what can we do?
Well, the real answer is that it's not easy. But if one wanted to try and improve health, then these ticky-tack little regulations, which simply remind you that when you eat that cheeseburger, you feel bad about it, but you're still going to eat it rather than the salad option. The real way that an economist would argue is you make people internalize the cost of their actions. If you go and buy health insurance on healthcare.gov, you pay zero different of a premium if you're a smoker versus a if you're overweight versus not overweight. Last time we spoke, we actually spoke about smoking.
Right.
But basically, what economists would say is, what we think is that heavier people probably cost more for the healthcare system. So why in the world would we price them the same as people who are not overweight?
That's a fair question.
So by making people realize the full cost of their actions, we probably can get them to take somewhat different actions.
Dr. Aaron Jelowitz, great conversation. You can find out more at the Cato Institute. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.